What possesses a global giant, a company comfortable with its hands in every corner of the payments world, to suddenly rip up half its playbook and completely reinvent itself? What kind of seismic shift forces such a bold high-wire act in an industry as fundamental yet, well, furiously fast-changing as payments?
That's a really good question.
Welcome to The Deep Dive, where we plunge into a stack of the latest research articles and our own insights to uncover the essential takeaways and help you get well-informed quickly. Today, we're dissecting the fascinating strategic pivot of Global Payments Inc., or GPN, a formidable player in the global payments technology landscape.
It's truly a masterclass in corporate transformation, or at least that's the ambition. What's fascinating here isn't just the sheer scale of the transactions, but how a company of this magnitude is essentially rebuilding itself, from the ground up in plain sight.
Yeah.
It's far more than a simple adjustment. It's a complete redefinition of its identity.
You called it a complete overhaul, and it really feels like it. GPN is at its most significant strategic inflection point to date, embarking on what some analysts are calling an audacious bet.
Audacious is a good word for it.
Our mission in this deep dive is to rigorously analyze its fundamental business model transformation, focusing on its pivot from a sprawling, diversified payments provider into what management explicitly aims to make a focused, pure-play powerhouse in merchant solutions.
Right.
We're going to unpack the sources that lay out the incredibly compelling bull case with its promise of unparalleled scale and synergy. And then, crucially, we'll look at the bear case, which is laden with immense execution risk.
And there's plenty of that.
Oh, definitely. We'll distill the critical insights to help you understand what's truly at stake for GPN and, by extension, the broader payments ecosystem. Okay, let's begin this deep dive.
Indeed. Global Payments for many years has been a cornerstone in the financial technology sector, providing essential software and services to both a vast network of merchants and a diverse array of financial institutions worldwide.
Yeah, they were everywhere.
They've been a company that for a long time prided itself on covering multiple bases within the payments value chain. But as you said, the company is now undertaking what it explicitly characterizes as its most significant strategic shift to date, a fundamental business model transformation.
It's not just a tweak.
No, this isn't just a tweak. It's a structural reset.
And what a transformation it promises to be. This isn't about tinkering around the edges or making incremental changes. We're talking about what's been affectionately dubbed the Great Unpacking.
Ah, yeah, I like that name.
A dual transaction that's actively reshaping GPN's very DNA in real time. The catalyst for this monumental shift was a definitive agreement publicly announced back in April 2025.
Right.
In this agreement, GPN is set to acquire the global payments giant Worldpay from Fidelity National Information Services, FIS, and also from GTCR, a prominent private equity firm that had a significant stake in Worldpay.
A major player.
This deal comes with a hefty net purchase price of $22.7 billion. Now, here's where it gets really interesting, and frankly, quite sophisticated.
This is the key part.
Exactly. This massive acquisition is inextricably linked to a simultaneous concurrent divestiture. At the very same time, GPN is selling off its entire issuer solutions business to FIS for $13.5 billion.
That's precisely why it transcends a mere acquisition. It's a complete strategic realignment. It fundamentally and dramatically alters GPN's operational scope, its competitive posture in the market, and perhaps most critically, its entire investment thesis.
Right. The whole story changes.
This isn't just swapping assets. It's a redefinition of who they are, where their focus lies, and where they will primarily compete. This elaborate transaction is currently undergoing regulatory review.
Which takes time.
Exactly. And is widely expected to close in the first half of 2026. Assuming all the necessary approvals are granted.
So after these complex transactions are finalized, the new GPN will emerge with a fundamentally different identity. It will fundamentally cease to be the diversified payments company we've known.
Completely different beast.
Instead, it will be a streamlined, laser-focused, pure-play merchant solutions provider. This pivot is designed to simplify its sprawling business model, shedding what management considers non-core assets, and crucially, to align all its resources with the highest growth segments of the payments ecosystem.
Makes sense on paper.
Their articulated new mission statement is ambitious: to become the worldwide partner of choice for commerce solutions. It's a very clear signal of intent.
And this isn't just a minor course correction, it's a complete reversal from their strategy back in 2019. Think back to that period. They executed what was touted as a merger of equals with Total System Services, or TSYS.
Ah, yes, the TSYS deal. That was huge then.
Huge. And that deal was predicated on the exact opposite, a diversified model. The idea was to combine a leading merchant acquirer with a top-tier issuer processor, creating a comprehensive payments powerhouse.
Covering all the bases.
Exactly. The 2025 decision to divest the very core of that issuer business clearly signals that the anticipated benefits of diversification either didn't materialize as robustly as expected or were simply deemed less valuable and less potent than the upside of a focused, higher-growth merchant acquiring model in today's environment.
Interesting. So the diversification dream didn't quite pan out.
Or maybe the pure-play dream just became more attractive. It's a profound shift in corporate philosophy either way.
That's a powerful observation. It suggests this pivot is a direct, decisive response to evolving market dynamics, where investors have increasingly shown a strong preference for focused, technology-led fintech companies. You know, think of the valuation premiums enjoyed by disruptors like Stripe and Adyen.
Exactly. The market loves focus these days.
GPN's transformation is an explicit acknowledgement of this market preference, a strategic maneuver to try and capture a valuation more aligned with a pure-play growth narrative, moving away from the conglomerate discount sometimes applied to diversified companies.
Trying to get that fintech multiple.
So on one hand, we're talking about a bold move with sky-high potential. But as we always emphasize, with such ambition comes some seriously high stakes.
Precisely. And this brings us to the two competing narratives that are currently captivating the financial markets. The bull case versus the bear case.
The push and pull.
On the bull side, proponents argue that the new GPN will emerge not just as a leader, but as the undisputed global leader in merchant acquiring.
Undisputed, huh? Big claim.
Big claim. They project an unparalleled scale and reach, anticipating that the combined entity will process approximately $3.7 trillion in annual payment volume for over 6 million merchant locations worldwide.
Wow. $3.7 trillion. That's a staggering amount of economic activity flowing through their systems.
It really is. That kind of volume gives them immense data advantages and, of course, economies of scale.
That scale sounds almost insurmountable for competitors. Truly a formidable position. But is sheer volume truly enough in this rapidly evolving market, especially when you have agile players like Adyen and Stripe who pride themselves on speed and innovation, not just transaction count?
That's the billion-dollar question.
Does formidable translate directly to future-proof? The bull case doesn't stop at just volume, though. It also emphasizes a truly comprehensive product suite designed to serve everyone from the smallest small to medium businesses, or SMBs, all the way up to the largest global enterprises.
Covering the spectrum.
This broad reach, they argue, creates a formidable competitive advantage through diversified customer bases. And then there are the synergies.
Ah, the synergies. Always key in these big deals.
Management is confidently targeting an impressive $600 million in annual run rate cost synergies.
$600 million. That's a big number.
And at least $200 million in revenue synergies within 3 years of closing. That's a lot of potential value to unlock, and it hinges on their ability to execute.
If executed successfully, the strategic clarity and intense focus on high-growth commerce solutions could indeed lead to substantial shareholder value. We're talking about significant margin expansion, accelerated earnings per share growth, and critically, a potential re-rating of its valuation multiple by the market.
The trifecta.
The idea is that by specializing and achieving this kind of scale, GPN will be seen more like those high-growth, pure-play fintechs rather than a traditional, slower-growth financial services conglomerate.
But as we always do on the deep dive, we have to look at both sides of the coin. What's the counter-narrative, the bear case, that outlines the immense risks and potential pitfalls of this colossal undertaking?
Right, because the risks are huge.
Because integrating Worldpay is not just another acquisition. It's one of the largest and, by all accounts, most complex combinations in the history of the payments sector. It's not just big, it's complicated in ways that could unravel even the best-laid plans.
The challenges are truly immense. They have to harmonize disparate technology platforms, which means painstakingly migrating vast amounts of data and client relationships. It's a tech nightmare waiting to happen if not managed perfectly.
Oh, I can only imagine the tech integration challenge.
Then they must consolidate global operations across numerous countries, navigating different legal and operational frameworks. And somehow, they need to merge distinct corporate cultures, the ways of doing things, that are often the silent killers of large mergers.
Culture eats strategy for breakfast, right?
Exactly. All while managing a significantly more leveraged balance sheet. This critical integration period will unfold against an already fierce competitive backdrop, not just from legacy incumbents like Fiserv, but also from those nimble tech-first fintechs like Adyen and Stripe who are constantly raising the bar.
They won't stand still.
Not at all. And let's not forget, increased scale always invites greater global regulatory oversight and antitrust scrutiny, adding another layer of complexity.
So the implications of the bear case are clear and stark. Any missteps in execution, a botched tech migration, a failure to hit synergy targets, or a significant client churn.
Any one of those could be damaging.
Coupled with a potential global economic slowdown, could jeopardize the realization of those highly anticipated synergies, pressure margins dramatically, and frankly, call into question the entire strategic rationale behind this monumental transaction.
It's a high-stakes gamble, to say the least, and the market will be watching every single move.
Okay, let's really dive into what this new GPN actually looks like, specifically its business model and the unprecedented scale it will achieve. As we've underlined, this is a complete strategic pivot from being a broadly diversified payments company to a laser-focused, pure-play merchant solutions provider.
Right. The focus is key.
This has been a steady march towards specialization, actually. They divested their consumer solutions segment, Netspend, back in 2023.
Got rid of that piece first.
And now, with the Worldpay deal, the issuer solutions business is classified as a discontinued operation. This leaves a much leaner, sharper entity.
Precisely. The new GPN will primarily report through a single, vastly expanded merchant solutions segment. This segment will be a global behemoth, designed to combine GPN's existing formidable strength in serving SMBs and its deep penetration in integrated payments.
Where they've always been strong.
With Worldpay's formidable leadership position in the large enterprise and e-commerce sectors, it's a significant expansion of their collective reach, creating a truly end-to-end offering.
So bridging the gap between SMB and enterprise.
That's the idea. Before this transaction, GPN served about 4 million merchant locations. Post-transaction, this will expand to a combined customer base of over 6 million merchants globally, giving them enormous leverage in the market.
6 million merchants, that's not just huge, it's a testament to the new scale they're chasing.
Mm-hmm.
And the raw numbers really drive home the sheer magnitude of this combined entity. The projected figures are staggering.
They really are.
The combined company is projected to generate pro forma annual adjusted net revenue for approximately $12.5 billion. But even more critically, for a payments processor, it will process an estimated $3.7 trillion in annual payments volume.
$3.7 trillion. Just let that sink in.
Stemming from approximately 94 billion transactions. To put that in perspective, that's a significant chunk of global economic activity flowing through their systems.
And this massive volume isn't just a vanity metric. It provides significant economies of scale in processing, which is absolutely crucial for profitability in this thin margin industry.
Got to drive those costs down.
The more volume you push through, the lower your per transaction cost. But it also creates an unparalleled data set. Think of it as a goldmine for developing and refining high-value added services like advanced analytics for merchant insights and robust fraud prevention solutions.
Which merchants increasingly want.
Which significantly enhances the company's value proposition to merchants beyond just core processing.
Okay, to give you a clearer, more quantifiable picture of this transformation, let's pull some specific data points from our sources and compare Global Payments as a standalone entity to the projected pro forma combined entity. When you see these numbers side by side, the magnitude of this shift truly becomes apparent.
Certainly. Let's look at adjusted net revenue first. Global Payments alone in 2024 stood at about $9.2 billion. Worldpay, as a separate entity, contributed around $4.8 billion.
Right.
However, the pro forma combined entity for 2025 isn't just an addition of those two. It's projected to reach approximately $12.5 billion, reflecting the strategic divestiture and focus. This suggests a more optimized revenue stream.
Okay, $12.5 billion combined.
Yeah.
And what about profitability? Adjusted EBITDA?
Yeah, adjusted EBITDA, which is a key measure of operational profitability, GPN alone was around $4.1 billion, and Worldpay about $2.4 billion. The new combined entity is projected to hit a staggering $6.5 billion.
Wow, $6.5 billion. That nearly $2.5 billion jump in EBITDA is a strong indicator of the synergy potential they are targeting.
That's where a big chunk of that $600 million in cost savings should show up.
And the merchant count.
The number of merchant locations is also telling in terms of market reach. GPN served about 4.5 million merchants, and Worldpay added over 1.4 million. The pro forma combined figure is now over 6 million, providing a truly global footprint.
Over 6 million.
Okay.
And the lifeblood of their business, the payment volume itself.
Right. GPN alone processed around $1.2 trillion in annual payment volume. WorldPay brought in a massive $2.5 trillion. The combined company will process an estimated $3.7 trillion.
There's that $3.7 trillion again.
This volume not only underpins their economies of scale, but also positions them as a critical infrastructure provider in the global economy.
And the number of transactions must be astronomical.
Finally, the sheer number of annual transactions. GPN saw approximately 28 billion, while WorldPay processed about 55 billion. The combined company is projected to handle around 94 billion transactions annually.
Almost 100 billion transactions.
These numbers aren't just big. They represent a fundamental shift in market dominance and a substantial increase in the raw engine of their business.
It's clear that unprecedented scale is a defining characteristic here. But the strategic imperative for the new global payments is to transcend being a mere transaction processor. Their goal is far more ambitious: to become an indispensable commerce enablement partner for their clients.
That phrase, commerce enablement, is key. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this isn't just about processing payments anymore. It's about owning the entire merchant relationship.
Getting sticky.
And becoming deeply embedded in their daily operations, almost to the point of indispensability. This strategy involves embedding payments deeply within a broader suite of software and value-added services, thereby increasing merchant dependency, or stickiness, and crucially, shifting the revenue mix toward higher-margin recurring software fees.
Which investors love.
Which are much more predictable than transactional revenue.
Right. And their comprehensive portfolio solutions is meticulously designed to achieve this deep embedding. First, there's omnichannel payment acceptance. This means giving merchants the seamless ability to accept literally all payment types.
Cards, wallets, everything.
From traditional credit and debit cards to the rapidly growing digital wallets like Apple Pay and Google Pay, and even emerging alternative methods across all possible channels, whether that's in person at a physical store, online via e-commerce, through mobile apps, or even in unattended environments like vending machines.
Meeting the customer wherever they are. That's the goal.
Exactly.
Then there's their significant push into point of sale or POS and integrated software solutions. They're not just providing a basic card reader. They're offering powerful, often cloud-based POS software solutions that manage everything from inventory to customer loyalty.
Much more than just payments.
A key strategic initiative here is the unification of these diverse POS products under a single global brand, Genius, aiming to create a consistent and highly scalable offering for specific verticals like restaurants and retail.
Genius. I remember seeing that launch.
Its successful launch for those key verticals in Q2 2025 was a significant milestone, showing their commitment to a unified software platform.
And they're heavily emphasizing embedded and integrated payments, particularly through crucial partnerships with independent software vendors, or ISVs.
Ah, the ISV channel.
Critical.
These are the companies that build specialized business management software for various industries. Global Payments want to embed their payment technology directly into these existing software systems that businesses already rely on daily,
making it seamless.
The acquisition of WorldPay's Payrix solution, in particular, is specifically intended to strengthen their capabilities in this crucial high-growth channel, recognizing that businesses increasingly prefer an all-in-one solution rather than disparate systems.
Payrix was a smart pickup for that strategy. And beyond just payments and core POS, they're aggressively moving into value-added services.
Going beyond the transaction. This means offering a comprehensive suite of business management tools that go far beyond simple transaction processing. We're talking about solutions like accounts receivable and payable automation, which streamlines financial operations, payroll and HR software to manage their workforce.
Things businesses really need.
Loyalty and marketing programs to help merchants retain and attract customers, and sophisticated advanced reporting and analytics tools, which can provide invaluable insights into their business performance.
This platformization of payments, as our sources so aptly describe it, is a direct strategic response to the competitive success seen from rivals like Block, formerly Square, and Toast.
Definitely. Square and Toast showed the power of the integrated model.
Those companies didn't just offer payments. They gained significant market share by providing SMBs with a complete integrated business operating system where payments were a core, but certainly not the only feature.
Right. Payments became part of a bigger solution,
Global Payments is now aggressively pursuing this bundled model, aiming to combine its formidable core processing capabilities with a wide range of software tools. The ultimate success of this strategy will depend heavily on its ability to seamlessly integrate the numerous technologies acquired over the years into a cohesive, user-friendly platform that genuinely simplifies commerce for its vast merchant base.
And that integration piece is huge. It's a massive undertaking with immense technical and cultural challenges. Can they actually pull it off smoothly?
We've painted a picture of the new GPN emerging as this pure-play merchant giant. But no company operates in a vacuum, especially not in a market as fiercely competitive as payments. So what does the playing field look like for this reinvented behemoth, and who are they truly up against in this high-stakes game?
Well, the global payments industry is truly massive and continues to grow structurally, consistently defying expectations. Our sources indicate the global payments revenue pool reached approximately $2.2 trillion in 2022.
$2.2 trillion. Just enormous.
Enormous. The Boston Consulting Group projects it to remain around that mark by 2027, which still signifies immense opportunity, while McKinsey is even more optimistic, projecting an astounding $3.3 trillion by 2031.
So plenty of pie to go around, but it's changing shape.
Exactly. This expansion is fundamentally underpinned by powerful, deeply ingrained secular tailwinds that show no signs of abating.
Those tailwinds include the continued global migration from cash to electronic forms of payment, something we see playing out in every economy around the world.
Less cash everywhere.
Then there's the unabated, relentless growth of e-commerce, which exploded during the pandemic and continues its upward trajectory. And finally, the rapid consumer adoption of digital wallets and contactless payments.
Yeah, tap to pay is ubiquitous now.
We're seeing this play out in our daily lives, aren't we? From tap to pay at your local coffee shop to instant online purchases, these trends are reshaping how we transact.
Absolutely. However, the nature of this growth is evolving, and this is crucial for GPN. While the overall revenue pool is expanding, the compound annual growth rate in mature markets like North America and Europe is expected to decelerate.
Okay, so growth slowing down in the core markets.
Yeah, BCG, for instance, projects a slowdown from a robust 9% CAGR between 2018 and 2023 to a more tempered 5% CAGR by 2028 for the global industry, with the most significant slowdowns in these developed regions.
Where's the growth coming from then?
Growth is increasingly being driven by emerging markets where digital adoption is still nascent, and more importantly, by newer payment modalities that completely bypass traditional card rails.
Ah, like real-time payments.
We're talking about innovations like real-time payment or RTP, networks and account-to-account, or A2A transfers, which offer lower fees and instant settlement. That's a potential threat to the card model.
So this shifting landscape places significant pressure on incumbent merchant acquirers like Global Payments to innovate beyond their core, highly profitable but perhaps slower growing card processing businesses.
Definitely. They must establish a strong presence in these new, faster growing payment flows to remain relevant and competitive.
It's adapt or risk being left behind, or at least marginalized, to a segment of the market that's losing steam.
And that leads us directly to the competitive positioning. The merchant acquiring market is intensely competitive and fragmented, populated by a diverse set of players, each with their own strengths.
It's a crowded field.
Post-Worldpay, GPN will be positioned as one of the largest acquirers globally by payment volume, putting it squarely in the same league as formidable bank-owned giants like JPMorgan Chase & Co. That's a powerful statement of intent.
Okay, so who are the main categories of competitors they're up against?
Well, first you have the large traditional acquirers and processors, companies like Fiserv, which owns the popular Clover POS platform, and even FIS, which, despite selling Worldpay, remains a major player in banking and payments technology.
The legacy giants.
These companies compete on sheer scale, extensive distribution networks often forged through decades of financial institution partnerships, and broad product portfolios. They're the heavyweights.
Got it. Then who else?
Then you have the bank-owned acquirers like JPMorgan Chase and Bank of America. They leverage their vast corporate banking relationships, which often come with pre-existing trust and deep client connections, to offer merchant services directly to their business clients.
Using the bank relationship as the entry point.
Exactly. That channel can be incredibly sticky.
And this is where it gets really interesting and arguably most challenging for GPN, the modern tech-first competitors.
Yeah, Stripe and Adyen. The disruptors.
These are the fastest growing and arguably most disruptive players in the space. They compete primarily on superior technology, developer-friendly application programming interfaces, or APIs.
Those APIs are crucial.
Which are essentially the digital connectors that allow different software systems to talk to each other, and a truly global, unified platform approach that is particularly attractive to rapidly scaling e-commerce businesses and large enterprise clients seeking seamless international operations.
They built for global e-commerce from day one, really.
Makes a difference. And the last category.
Lastly, the SMB-focused platforms such as Block, formerly Square, and Toast, they've built incredibly strong positions in the small to medium business market by offering highly integrated, often vertical-specific, software and hardware solutions.
Like Toast in restaurants.
Exactly. They essentially create a complete business ecosystem for their merchants. Think about a restaurant using Toast for everything from order taking to payroll. It's a powerful, sticky model.
So GPN's strategic realignment places it in direct head-to-head competition across two distinct and incredibly challenging fronts, demanding different playbooks.
Right. They have to fight on two fronts now.
In the SMB market, their genius POS platform and their vast ISV and direct sales channels will go up against those entrenched ecosystems of Fiserv's Clover and Block Square.
That's a tough fight. That battle is typically won through intuitive, user-friendly, all-in-one solutions, strong local support, and highly effective distribution.
And on the other front, the big enterprise clients.
Simultaneously, the acquisition of Worldpay positions GPN to aggressively challenge Adyen and Stripe in the global enterprise and e-commerce arena. This contest, on the other hand, is won on the basis of raw technological superiority.
Tech really matters there.
Including the quality and ease of use of their APIs, the breadth of global payment method acceptance, and the ability to optimize transaction authorization rates, which directly impact a merchant's bottom line.
Getting those approvals through is critical for big merchants.
Absolutely. Successfully executing a strategy to compete and win in both of these disparate, demanding segments concurrently will be a monumental challenge, as the required technology investments, the sales expertise needed, and the product development cycles differ significantly for each.
Wow, that's a tough balancing act. Can they really excel at both?
That's the key question everyone's asking.
Speaking of technology, it's not just a nice to have anymore. In the modern payments landscape, a company's underlying technology stack and its appeal to the developer community are absolutely critical competitive differentiators.
Totally agree. This is especially true for winning and retaining partnerships with those independent software vendors, or ISVs, which, as we mentioned, are a cornerstone of GPN's growth strategy in integrated payments.
Need to keep the ISVs happy.
Exactly. GPN is actively working to modernize its infrastructure, emphasizing a crucial move toward a cloud-native, API-first architecture. This design philosophy is all about increasing agility, enabling faster deployment of new features, and speeding time to market for new solutions.
Table stakes now, really.
Pretty much. They highlight a developer portal complete with comprehensive API documentation, robust software development kits, or SDKs, and a sandbox environment for seamless testing of integrations.
But they face formidable competition here. Companies like Stripe, in particular, have built their entire business on a developer-centric model and are widely regarded in the industry for the simplicity, power, and comprehensive documentation of their APIs.
Stripe really set the standard for developer experience.
It set the benchmark. A crucial test for the new global payments will be its ability to truly create a unified, modern, and genuinely developer-friendly API layer across the combined legacy GPN and Worldpay platforms.
Merging those APIs cleanly is a huge challenge.
Failure to provide a seamless and compelling developer experience could significantly hinder its ability to attract and retain the most innovative ISV partners, who are absolutely critical for broad distribution in key vertical markets.
And that would really hurt their integrated payment strategy.
And finally, a constant, often unpredictable headwind for any company of GPN scale in this space, the regulatory environment.
Ah, yes. Regulation. Always lurking.
The global payments industry is subject to a complex and ever-evolving web of regulations that represents a significant and persistent risk factor. As a leading global provider, Global Payments must navigate a multitude of intricate legal and compliance frameworks across every market it operates in.
It's a minefield.
This includes adhering to strict payment network rules, think Visa and MasterCard's intricate operating manuals. Any deviation in GPN faces not just heavy fines, but the existential threat of losing its ability to process transactions on those networks altogether.
Losing your network registration is game over.
Then there's interchange fee regulation. These fees are set by the card networks, and they represent a huge, often contentious part of transaction costs. They are a frequent target of regulatory scrutiny and political pressure globally.
Politicians love to talk about interchange fees.
Any action that CAPTA reduces these fees could directly and materially impact GPN's revenue and profitability as they reduce the overall pie.
Directly hits their bottom line. Furthermore, as the merchant acquiring industry continues to consolidate, the largest players, like the combined GPN WorldPay, face heightened antitrust scrutiny.
Bigger target now.
Their newly enlarged scale will undoubtedly attract the keen attention of competition authorities in major markets like the United States and Europe, potentially leading to challenges in future M&A or even investigations into market practices.
And of course, data privacy and security. As a custodian of vast amounts of sensitive cardholder data, GPN is a high-value target for cyber attacks.
Huge target.
This subjects them to stringent security standards like PCI DSS, that's the Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard, essentially the global rulebook for handling credit card data safely. They also face stringent privacy laws like GDPR in Europe.
Compliance is complex and expensive.
A significant data breach could result in substantial financial liabilities, crippling regulatory fines, and severe, long-lasting reputational damage.
Reputation is everything in payments. This raises an important question. How does a payments giant compete across such diverse and challenging fronts? From nimble, tech-first fintechs to entrenched, well-capitalized banks, all while navigating an increasingly complex and often punitive regulatory maze.
It sounds like walking a tightrope.
It really does.
That's the multi-billion dollar question, isn't it? Let's turn our attention now to the money side of things. Global payments, financial performance, and how it plans to allocate its capital. It's a story deeply rooted in growth through ambitious acquisitions, coupled with what they hope will be disciplined operational management.
Indeed. Looking at their revenue growth trajectory on a consolidated GAAP basis that's generally accepted accounting principles, the standard way companies report financials in the U.S., global payments revenues have shown significant top-line growth, surging from $4.91 billion in 2019 to an impressive $9.65 billion in 2023.
Doubled in 4 years, basically.
Pretty much. This trajectory, as we discussed, was fundamentally shaped by two landmark transactions. The transformational merger with TSYS in late 2019, which effectively doubled their size, and the strategic acquisition of EVO Payments, which closed in the first quarter of 2023, expanding their international footprint.
So a lot of that growth was inorganic from deals.
A significant chunk, yes. Given all that M&A activity, a more insightful view of the company's underlying performance comes from analyzing its adjusted net revenue growth, which management often presents on a constant currency ex-dispositions basis.
Trying to get to the core growth.
Exactly. This metric is designed to strip out the effects of currency fluctuations and sold-off businesses, trying to isolate the true organic growth of the core ongoing operations. For example, in the first quarter of 2024, the company reported adjusted net revenue growth of 7%.
7% organic. Okay.
Which was noted as being ahead of internal expectations and reflective of resilient consumer trends. This is important because it provides a crucial baseline for assessing the potential of the newly combined entity post-WorldPay. Can they maintain or even accelerate that organic growth as they digest this massive acquisition?
That's the key question for valuation later, I bet.
Absolutely. A hallmark of Global Payments' financial strategy has undeniably been its consistent focus on profitability and margin expansion.
They do manage costs well.
The company's adjusted operating margin has steadily improved over the years, reaching a robust 44.6% for the full year 2023, and climbing even further to 44.8% in the fourth quarter of that year. Management has even guided for continued improvement, targeting up to 50 basis points of additional margin expansion for the full year 2024.
Impressive margins. This strong and expanding profitability profile really demonstrates a core competency in disciplined cost management and, crucially, a proven track record in successfully extracting cost synergies from previous large acquisitions like TSYS and EVO.
Right. They delivered on those synergy promises. They delivered $350 million from TSYS and $135 million from EVO, exceeding initial targets for both.
That builds credibility.
It does. This historical success in realizing cost synergies is a central pillar of the bull case for the WorldPay acquisition, lending a lot of credibility to their aggressive synergy targets. But as we've said, the sheer scale of the WorldPay integration presents a challenge of a truly different magnitude.
It's just so much bigger.
And the ability to maintain or expand these industry-leading margins post-close will be a key determinant of the transaction's overall success. the market will be looking for proof.
Right. Show me the money.
Beyond profitability, Global Payments consistently demonstrates robust cash flow generation, converting a high percentage of its earnings into cash. The company's management team targets an impressive adjusted free cash flow conversion rate of over 90%, which essentially means almost every dollar of their profits turns into real deployable cash.
90% conversion is strong.
Very strong. For example, in the third quarter of 2023, the company generated $733 million in adjusted free cash flow, demonstrating the highly cash-generative nature of its business model.
And this robust and predictable cash flow is the essential engine that fuels the company's capital allocation strategy, providing the necessary funds for its ambitious M&A agenda, consistent share repurchases, and dividend payments. But we absolutely have to talk about the balance sheet and debt management.
Yes, the debt load.
Because their acquisitive strategy has undeniably resulted in a significant debt load. As of the end of the second quarter of 2025, Global Payments reported $14.15 billion in long-term debt.
$14 billion. And the Worldpay acquisition will only add to this. It's being financed through a combination of existing cash and significant new debt issuance.
So debt's going up significantly.
Management has indicated that upon closing, the company's net leverage, that's total debt minus cash divided by adjusted EBITDA, is expected to be approximately 3.5 times adjusted EBITDA.
3.5 times. That's getting up there.
It is. They've also established a clear deleveraging target, aiming to reduce this ratio to a more comfortable 3.0x within 18 to 24 months of the deal's completion. This deleveraging is a critical priority for them to maintain financial flexibility and reassure investors.
They have to hit that target. It certainly is. While the company expects to maintain its investment-grade credit ratings, a crucial stamp of financial health, this substantially increased debt burden will inevitably reduce financial flexibility in the near term and heighten the company's overall risk profile.
Especially if something goes wrong.
This is particularly true if the integration process falters, or if a significant global economic downturn materializes, putting pressure on their cash flows right when they need them most. That leverage makes them more vulnerable.
In terms of capital allocation and shareholder returns, management has consistently articulated a clear hierarchy of capital priorities. Their playbook is, first, reinvest in the core business for organic growth.
Feed the engine.
Second, pursue strategic M&A that enhances their competitive position. And third, return any excess capital to shareholders. All of this, they stress, while maintaining an investment-grade balance sheet.
Okay, standard priorities.
Yeah.
But how does Worldpay change that?
Following the close of the Worldpay acquisition, that immediate capital priority will shift decisively toward debt reduction. That aggressive target of reducing net leverage from approximately 3.5x to around 3.0x within 18 to 24 months will likely require dedicating the majority of their considerable free cash flow to paying down debt.
So M&A and big buybacks might be on hold for a bit.
Very likely. This necessary deleveraging will likely subordinate other capital uses, such as large-scale share buybacks or further significant M&A, until that leverage target is comfortably achieved. It's a clear signal that the debt paydown is paramount.
Makes sense. What about dividends?
As for more direct shareholder returns, Global Payments maintains a regular quarterly dividend. As of the second quarter of 2025, the dividend has been held steady at Zelorn's 25 cents per share since the third quarter of 2021.
Pretty stable then.
Yeah, and the payout ratio is relatively low, around 17.3% of earnings, which provides a comfortable cushion and flexibility for reinvestment or debt paydown.
And share buybacks. They've done those quite actively, right?
They have. Share buybacks have historically been a more significant and dynamic component of their shareholder return strategy, with active authorizations and frequent use of accelerated share repurchase or ASR program.
Like recently.
For instance, they announced a $250 million ASR after Q4 2024 results and a larger $500 million ASR in connection with Q2 2025 results.
Okay, so still active pre-close.
What's truly ambitious, though, and signals significant confidence, is their stated goal of returning approximately $7.5 billion to shareholders over the three-year period from 2025 to 2027.
$7.5 billion.
Yeah.
While integrating Worldpay and deleveraging.
Exactly. Despite this massive acquisition and the associated need to deleverage, management is signaling a high degree of confidence in the combined company's future free cash flow generation capabilities.
That's a bold projection. It's clear they're making a calculated bet on future cash flows, but they're not just growing for growth's sake. They've historically been very disciplined with their cash.
Disciplined, yes. But this is their biggest bet yet.
We've covered the exciting vision, the massive scale, and the financial foundation they're building. But now, It's time to tackle the road ahead, specifically the significant risks and potential headwinds that could derail this ambitious plan, and then how management plans to navigate them. Because as we know, ambition without execution is just wishful thinking.
And execution is everything here. The single most significant risk facing global payments is, without a doubt, the successful integration of Worldpay.
The integration risk, number one.
Absolutely. This is a truly monumental undertaking, merging two massive global organizations, each with distinct technology platforms, entrenched operational processes, unique corporate cultures, and tens of thousands of employees. The potential pitfalls are numerous and complex.
Absolutely. Think about the sheer challenge of technology and platform migration. Harmonizing disparate and incredibly complex core processing platforms is a Herculean task.
Nightmare fuel for CTOs.
Any missteps here could lead to system outages, transaction failures, and significant client disruption, costing them not just revenue, but trust. Then there's synergy realization. Failing to achieve that ambitious $600 million cost synergy target would fundamentally undermine the entire financial rationale of the deal and negatively impact future earnings.
Hitting those numbers is non-negotiable for the deal math to work.
For sure. And even if the tech works perfectly.
And even if the technology works perfectly, there's the pervasive risk of customer attrition. The uncertainty and potential disruption caused by such a large-scale integration could lead to higher-than-expected customer churn.
Competitors will be circling like sharks.
Oh, absolutely. Aggressive competitors will undoubtedly target the combined company's client base during this period of transition. And for the leadership team itself, there's management distraction.
Spreading themselves too thin.
The immense all-consuming focus required to manage an integration of this scale could inevitably divert senior leadership's attention from running the core business, innovating, and responding to those competitive threats we just discussed. It's a massive drain on resources.
Okay, so integration is huge. What else? The economy.
Beyond integration, there's the ever-present economic sensitivity. As a payment processor, GPN's revenues are directly correlated with the volume and value of consumer and business spending.
Makes sense. Less spending, less processing.
A significant regional or global recession would lead to a decline in transaction volumes, directly impacting revenue and profitability. While the business has shown resilience recently, absorbing Worldpay and navigating a severe downturn would be a major headwind, especially given the increased financial leverage they'll carry post-acquisition.
That makes them more vulnerable to a downturn.
Definitely. Competitive pressure and pricing power are also constant threats in this hyper-competitive industry. The payment sector is characterized by intense and escalating competition from a wide array of players.
Always someone trying to undercut you.
This pressure creates a persistent risk of pricing compression or take rate erosion, where the percentage of each transaction they earn shrinks. This directly impacts their margins.
This pressure comes from all sides. Fintech disruption from companies like Adyen and Stripe, which continue to innovate rapidly and win market share, especially in the high-growth e-commerce and integrated payments segments.
They're constantly pushing the envelope.
Then there are those powerful SMB ecosystems from Block Square and Fiserv, Clover, presenting strong challenges in that crucial SMB market by offering all-in-one solutions. In fact, a February 2025 analyst note from Mizuho Securities even cited a potential weakening competitive position in the merchant segment as a reason for caution.
Ouch.
Highlighting external concerns about GPN's ability to defend its turf.
And of course, regulatory and cybersecurity risk. The combined GPN Worldpay will face heightened antitrust scrutiny due to its enlarged scale.
Under the microscope.
There's also the persistent threat of government intervention to cap or regulate interchange fees, which could significantly impact their revenue model. And as a high-value target for cyber attacks, due to the vast amounts of sensitive payment data it handles.
Massive amounts of data.
A significant data breach could result in substantial financial liabilities, crippling regulatory fines, and severe, long-lasting reputational damage.
Nightmare scenario. Finally, there's the subtle but significant concern of client concentration and churn. While GPN serves a large and diversified merchant base, the loss of a key client or a major referral partner could still have a material impact.
Especially big ISV partners or bank referrals?
This is particularly true for its referral partnerships with large financial institutions and its integration partnerships with major ISVs. Here's a notable analytical challenge for investors. GPN does not publicly disclose its specific merchant retention or churn rate,
which is frustrating for analysts,
making it difficult for outsiders to assess this crucial health metric.
Our sources indicate that industry-wide annual merchant attrition can be as high as 20%, driven by factors such as business closures, competitive switching, and dissatisfaction with service.
20% churn is high.
It can be, yeah. While GPN's strategy of embedding payments within software is designed precisely to increase stickiness and lower churn, the absence of a quantifiable metric makes it difficult to verify the success of this strategy externally.
Need the data to prove it.
This raises an important question. Can the leadership team, despite their historical track record, truly overcome the unprecedented scale and sheer complexity of these risks while simultaneously driving innovation and growth? It's a balancing act that few companies successfully pull off.
That's the core of the strategic wager, isn't it? Let's talk about that leadership team and their corporate strategy.
Yeah.
The success of this ambitious, audacious transformation rests squarely on their shoulders, and it's worth dissecting their capabilities.
The senior leadership team is composed of seasoned executives, many of whom have been integral to Global Payments' previous growth story. Cameron Bready, the CEO, appointed in June 2023, is a company veteran.
Been there a while.
Who has been central to the company's financial and M&A strategy for nearly a decade, including the successful TSYS and EVO integrations. Josh Whipple, the CFO, appointed in 2022, brings a strong background in strategy and investment banking.
More finance strength.
Underscoring the company's continued focus on sophisticated strategic transactions. And Bob Cortopassi, who was appointed president and COO in early 2024, brings extensive experience in technology and commerce, specifically tasked with overseeing the daunting operational execution of this merger.
So the COO has the hot seat for integration.
He really does.
Yeah.
So their collective experience is heavily weighted toward finance and corporate development, a strength that has served the company well as a strategic acquirer, building scale through deals.
Good at buying things.
But that key question you posed earlier remains. Do they possess the deep, hands-on operational and technological expertise required to execute a seamless integration of the scale and complexity of Worldpay, where the nuances of platform migration and cultural alignment could make or break the deal?
It's a different skill set than deal making.
It really is. They do, however, have a demonstrable track record of strategic execution, which certainly lends confidence. They successfully integrated two multi-billion dollar acquisitions in recent years, TSYS and EVO Payments, and consistently met or exceeded the cost synergy targets for those deals.
That TSYS and EVO integration success helps their case.
For TSYS, they actually raised the target from $325 million to $350 million, and for EVO, from $125 million to $135 million. That's a strong operational achievement in prior integrations.
They've also executed a series of complex divestitures over the past few years to streamline the portfolio and sharpen strategic focus, like the Netspend consumer and gaming solutions divestitures and exiting Russian operations.
Good portfolio pruning.
This history certainly provides a degree of confidence in their ability to manage complex transactions and extract cost efficiencies. However, that caveat you mentioned is crucial. The unprecedented scale of the Worldpay transaction means that past success, while commendable, is not a guarantee of future performance.
Worldpay is just a different league. While they're adept at cost synergies, the track record on revenue synergies is inherently more difficult to quantify and achieve.
Always harder to get revenue synergies.
And for Worldpay, they're guiding to at least $200 million in annual run rate revenue synergies.
$200 million? How do they get that? Cross-selling.
These revenue gains are predicated on successful cross-selling, for example, selling GPN's robust software solutions into Worldpay's larger merchant base, or leveraging Worldpay's enterprise platform for GPN's existing larger clients.
Sounds good in theory.
But executing on such initiatives is notoriously challenging in large corporate mergers, often hindered by clashes between different sales cultures, difficulties in integrating disparate product platforms into a cohesive offering, and internal channel conflicts where sales teams might compete for the same client.
Yeah, the internal politics can kill cross-selling.
The market will likely remain skeptical of these revenue targets until management can provide clear, quantifiable evidence of cross-sell wins and increasing revenue per merchant in the quarters following the transaction's close.
Need to see the proof. In terms of long-term vision and communication, the leadership team has articulated a clear and consistent goal, which helps align expectations. To transform the company into the worldwide partner of choice for commerce solutions, by focusing on a technology-enabled, software-driven strategy.
It's a clear vision. This aligns well with the broader industry trend of moving beyond simple payment processing to provide integrated commerce ecosystems, which is where the value increasingly lies.
They communicate this strategy regularly through earnings calls, investor conferences, and detailed presentations. For instance, at their September 2024 investor conference, the company even provided a clear medium-term financial outlook for 2025-2027.
Putting numbers out there.
Projecting an acceleration in both adjusted net revenue growth to mid to high single digits and adjusted EPS growth to low teens in 2026 and 2027, post-Worldpay integration.
Setting expectations. These public targets provide clear benchmarks against which investors can measure the success of the company's strategic transformation over the coming years. They've put their stake in the ground, and now it's about delivering.
Now let's unpack the value, how the market currently sees global payments, and what the valuation analysis tells us about investor sentiment. Current trading multiples are compressed compared to both historical levels and key industry peers.
Definitely compressed.
Suggesting investors are applying the substantial discount for execution risk and uncertainty, making this audacious transformation a show-me story for many.
That's right. As of August 2025, GPN traded at a price-to-earnings, or PE, ratio of approximately 14-15 times trailing 12-month earnings. This is a stark contraction from its historical multiples.
How stark?
Consider this. The company's PE was over 110x in 2020.
Wow.
Dropping to 33.5x in 2023 and further to 18.1x at the end of 2024. This sustained decline indicates that while the company has continued to grow its earnings, investor sentiment has soured, and the market is willing to pay progressively less for each dollar of those earnings.
Reflects deep skepticism about future growth or the successful integration.
Exactly. And when we benchmark GPN against its peers, the valuation story becomes even more pronounced, appearing quite modest by comparison. Its forward PE ratio trades at a significant discount to the premier asset-light card networks like Visa at around 33x and MasterCard at about 39x.
Well, they're networks, different model.
True, different model, but they command premium multiples due to their dominant market positions and high-margin network-based business models.
Okay, what about direct competitors?
Yeah.
Like Fiserv?
More importantly, it also trades at a discount to its direct processing competitors, like Fiserv, which is around 14.5x forward PE.
So cheaper than Fiserv, why?
This valuation gap can be attributed to several factors, including the market's perception of GPN's lower organic growth profile pre-Worldpay, and as we've discussed, the substantial unavoidable execution risk associated with the pending integration. Investors are quite literally pricing in that risk.
Let's put some hard numbers on that peer comparison from our sources to really give you the context of where GPN sits in the payments ecosystem. Global payments, with an approximate market cap of $21 billion.
Relatively small compared to some.
Currently trades with an enterprise value to EBITDA of about 9.5x, a forward PE of around 10.0x, and a price-to-sales PS of about 2.1x.
Okay, 9.5x of EBITDA, 10x forward PE. Now compare that to Fiserv, a larger market cap of $73 billion, and a EBITDA around 13.0x, a forward PE of 14.5x, and a PS around 3.9x.
So significantly higher multiples for Fiserv across the board.
You can see the market values Fiserv's more stable, diversified revenue stream at a higher premium.
And then let's look at the tech-first disruptors, which GPN is aspiring to emulate in some ways. Adyen.
Adyen, with a market cap of about $45 billion, trades at a much higher EBITDA of approximately 25.0x, a forward PE of 30.0x, and a PS of 13.0x.
Oh, 25 times EBITDA, 30 times earnings. That's a tech multiple. And Block.
And Block, at around $40 billion market cap, an EBITDA of 20.0x, a forward PE of 22.0x, and PS of 2.2x. The significant differences in these multiples show how drastically the market values different business models and perceived growth opportunities within the payments industry.
It truly is a tale of different valuations.
So the upside potential for GPN is clear, but it's contingent. A successful integration that decisively accelerates organic growth and delivers convincingly on those synergy targets could be a powerful catalyst for a re-rating of the stock's multiple, potentially helping to close that substantial gap with its peers.
It's a high-reward, high-risk scenario. Finally, we have to consider the sum of the parts, or SOTP, considerations, which present a rather compelling arbitrage thesis that many analysts are pointing to.
Yes, the SOTP arbitrage. This is clever.
The announced transactions provide clear, market-based valuation anchors for the company's constituent parts. giving us a unique window into how different segments of the business are valued.
This is truly a fascinating piece of financial engineering. The issuer solutions business, which was a slower-growing, more capital-intensive asset, was divested to FIS at an enterprise value equivalent to a robust 12.3 times its adjusted EBITDA.
12.3 times EBITDA for the slower growth part. That's a good price.
Very good price. Think of it like GPN selling an older, reliable, but slow growth property at the very top of the market. This reflects the market's strong appetite for steady, recurring revenue streams, even if growth is more modest.
In stark contrast, Global Payments is acquiring Worldpay, a strategic, higher growth potential asset in the merchant solutions space, at a much lower valuation of 8.5 times its adjusted EBITDA.
8.5 times. Significantly lower.
And this figure is particularly compelling because it's net of anticipated run rate synergies, meaning they've already factored in the cost savings and revenue boosts they expect to achieve.
So the underlying acquisition multiple is even lower if you back out the synergies.
Exactly. So they're essentially buying a prime growth property at what looks like a discount, funded by that premium sale. This arbitrage, if successfully executed, forms a core and highly compelling part of the value creation thesis for the entire transaction.
Sell high, buy low, basically. It's a sophisticated bet on unlocking hidden value through strategic portfolio optimization, but again, relies heavily on execution.
Right. It all comes back to that. So we've taken a deep dive into Global Payments' audacious bet on becoming a pure-play merchant solutions leader. We've explored the massive scale of the Worldpay acquisition, the compelling vision of commerce enablement, and dissected the high-stakes integration that lies ahead.
It's a story of powerful potential versus truly significant execution challenges, a defining moment for a payments giant.
Absolutely.
Indeed, Global Payments is making a high-stakes move to redefine itself in a rapidly evolving industry, fundamentally reshaping its entire enterprise. It makes us wonder, in a world of increasing specialization and hyper-focused tech players, will the pure play always win the day?
Or does focus become too narrow eventually?
Or is there a cyclical nature where diversification eventually finds its way back into favor? It's a question that extends far beyond the payments industry.
That's a great question to ponder. What insights can you, our listener, draw from Global Payments' bold strategic pivot that might apply to how businesses, or even your own career, navigate profound change in specialization in a dynamic environment?
Good thought.
The principles of strategic transformation, risk management, and capital allocation we've explored here resonate far beyond just one company.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, GPN's journey will undoubtedly be a fascinating case study in corporate reinvention and strategic foresight, demonstrating just how much conviction and how much inherent risk is involved in reshaping a global enterprise to meet the demands of a new era.
A story we'll definitely be watching.
It's a story we'll continue to watch closely.
So what does this all mean for you in your understanding of strategic transformation in the payments world? Keep digging, keep exploring, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.